try to learn two things. One from David. We're going to try to learn something from Peter. And it has to do with what the house of the Lord is. So here's what I'd like you to do. We're going to turn our Bibles, please. Turn into the Word of God. And this is what this place was founded on. The Word of God. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And we're going to read 2 Samuel 7. So what David learned from the palace. David was living in his palace, his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies. He was in a time of peace. And I want us to think today, as we see this story, I want you to compare David to our day-to-day. What David was going on. Time of peace, a lot of enemies defeated. The king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." Now I want you to stop for just a second, and I want to share a principle here. It's not what we're going to learn from David, but we're going to set it up here, okay? When you're following God, when you love the Lord, when you've got the call of God on your life, and you can look at your life and see that David did some amazing things. So when Nathan said, "The Lord is with you, go do what's in your heart," it's because David did some amazing things for God. There's something about the call of God that changes you and changes what you want to do and changes the way you do things. That where people see and look at your life and say, "God's with you. I can tell. God is with you." Because no man could have taken down that giant with a sling and a stone. God is in this thing. And so I just want us to set that up right now. Nathan did not have to. He didn't pray, right? He didn't say, "Well, let me see." He just said, "Look, God's with you. And there are things in your heart that are right on." But here's the first point that I want you to learn from David. Okay? That even though you follow the Lord, you love the Lord, God has changed your life. You're not the same old person. Thank God I'm not what I want to be yet. I'm not what I want to be. But thank God I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. So there's changes in your life. And there are a lot of things God can trust you with to do the right thing. But this is what we need to learn. Sometimes you got to sit down and get a word from God. You can't just do it. What's in your heart? And you got to know when. Just stop and sit down. And this is what happened. That night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord." Now, he kind of rips him. Okay? So, hear me on this. "Would you build me a house to live in?" "I've not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I've been living in a tent for my dwelling. In all the places where I've moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak to a word to any of the judges of Israel whom I commanded to, listen, shepherd my people, Israel? Why have you not built me a house of cedar?" God said nothing about it in his word. "Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be a prince over my people. And I have been with you wherever you went and cut off your enemies, all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great house. I will make for you a great name, like the name of all the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people, and I will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more, and violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly. From the time that I appointed judges over my people, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you who shall come from your body. I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom. I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son. And when he commits iniquity, I'll discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put it away from you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. And in accordance with all these words, in accordance with all the vision, Nathan spoke to David. Now, listen, David had a word from the Lord that he needed because he had a blind spot. And even though he had walked with the Lord for a while, he knew the Lord. God trusted him. He had the presence of God in his life. There had to come a time where he had to get a fresh word from God, because the way he thought was not God's ways. You cannot take God's ways for granted. You cannot take God's thoughts for granted. So I want you to see here what David did and what we need to do. Instead of, say, David going to Nathan, I'm going to build God a house, here's what he did instead. Look at verse 18. And highlight it in your Bible. Mark it down in your Bible. Do whatever you got to do to fix on this verse, because this is the key. It says that then, what was David's response? He, King David, went in and sat before the Lord and said, who am I? Who am I? Who am I to do this? Who am I that you've brought me this far? And he began to just tell God about all the amazing things that God did in his life. Who am I? Why did you choose me? But I want you to see this. He went in and sat before the Lord. So where did he go? He went in where? He went back into the tent. The tabernacle of David. So here he is, sitting in his palace. Think about it now. He's sitting in his palace, and he says, I want to build God a palace. And God says, go to my tent so I can build you the kind of house I want to build you. You built the kind of house you wanted. You built the kind of house you wanted. David had a nice house. He had a house. David had a nice house. He says, thank you. I'm going to stay in my tent. And I'm going to build you a house. It's my turn to build you a house. God wants to build you a house. I will say it again because I don't think you believe me. Did you hear me? God wants to build you a house. He wants to build you a house. Now I want you to turn to your neighbor and speak it to them to make sure they got it. Turn to them. Tell them. God wants to build you a house. David had to sit before the Lord in a tent before he could learn how to sit in the palace and rule the kingdom of God. He had to learn how to hear from God. Even though he had a good foundation in his life, even though God did great things through him, he had to step it up and get back in the tent and sit before the Lord. Now, God has called his people to be kings and priests. says in the book of Revelation, David was a king, but in order to be a king, he had to learn how to be a priest. And the thing that we know David the most for today as a church is called the tabernacle or the tent of David. I will take the tent of David any day. As a matter of fact, I will tell you, as a person that has been here and those of you that have been here from the beginning, this place is called to be a tabernacle of David for our region, for our city, for this nation, and for the world. We have been called to be a tabernacle of David. And what did David learn to do after that? What did he do? I'm not going to go there and show you, but he set up 24-hour worship and prayer and prophecy in front of a tent. And he began to write psalms and sing them. And we're going to finish today doing the greatest psalm that pretty much everybody here knows by heart, Psalm 23. We're going to finish it with this. But David, I don't believe David had yet entered into his full ministry until this word from the Lord: I am going to build you a house. So get into my tent and sit before me. And that's what he did. He sat before the Lord. It's the presence of God that we all need more than anything. I got news for you. God's presence, when it comes, and if it comes in different ways, okay? And there are times when God's presence comes. We've seen it here. We're going to see it again. There are times when God's presence comes when nobody can say anything. Nobody can move. Nobody can stop from crying. And that's what God has called us to be, a place of God's presence. A place of God's glory. And David sat before the Lord. He waited on God. He learned how to sit and listen before he did what was in his heart. It's called a resting place. God wants us to pray according to God's will. Prayer is not for God to do what we want. Prayer is for you to be the reason why God's will is done on the earth. That's what we say when we say the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. So it's sitting before the Lord that enables us to pray according to the will of God. And he needed to hear the word of the Lord. And that word of the Lord was in the scripture. God said, did I say in my word to do this? Isn't that what God said to him? He didn't know the word. Did I say to do this? No. Did I ever say to do this? Never. Why? He didn't know what was in the word. And sometimes you got to know what's not in the word. That's a whole nother message right there. There are a lot of people that get out there and try to do what's not in the word, and they try to call it God. It's not. It's not in the word. Okay. Now let's talk about Peter. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 17, chapter 16. Let's go to Matthew 16 first. The lesson of David is sit before the Lord to really get what God's will is, even though you've been flowing in God's will. I believe that should be for America too. I believe that America, even though God's blessed us up to this point, it's time for us to hear from God afresh. And we need some new founding pioneers to get out there and say, this is God's will for this country. Amen. Preach it. Glory to God. Okay, so Matthew chapter 16, Peter was asked by Jesus, who do people say the Son of Man is? Jesus was taking a poll. We had take polls all the time in America. And they gave him the results of that poll. Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and some say Jeremiah. And he says, who do you say that I am? And then this is what Peter said. He said, you are. You are. You are. Now, I want to give you this sense that when we express faith, we express faith by saying, you are. And who God is. You are. Who are you? Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you're blessed because your ability to say you are was given to you by God. But I want you to hear me on this. Jesus affirmed who Peter was. Peter said to Jesus, you are Messiah. Jesus said to Peter, you are Peter, right? And then he said, I will build my church. Now here's the key. When we say to God, you are the Lord, in prayer, expect God to say to you, I will in return. Not what you will, but what I will. God's will. Too many times people go to God when God says to them, you are, and they begin to speak spiritual identity to who they are, but then they don't wait for God to say, I will. And they run ahead of God and they miss God and they just go without really getting the will of God. He says, you are Peter and I will build my church on you. Do you see that right here, Jesus says, I will build my house on you, another man. What did God say to David through Nathan? He said what? There's going to be a spiritual son coming from you, and with this man, he will build my church. We know that's Jesus. Jesus says, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. It's right there. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. But here, you've got to hear me this. I will build this house, Peter. I will build this house. Now, why am I emphasizing this? Because Peter, like many of us, gets a word from God and does exactly the opposite of what God wants. Go to Matthew chapter 17. After 6 days, Matthew 17, Jesus takes them up to a high mountain by themselves, Peter, James, and John. He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared with him Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, here he goes, ready, just like David. It's good that we're here. What did David say? Lord, I've got a nice house. What did Peter say? If you want, of course, he was just already decided he was going to do it. You know what I'm saying? You just kind of say, oh, buddy, if you want me to do this, and you're already starting to do it. You don't really care what they're saying. You're just kind of saying it as a courtesy. If it's good, Lord, I'll make three tents, three houses. Was that his place? What did Jesus just tell him? He says, I'm going to build my house on you, Peter. You're not going to build a house for me. I'm going to build a house on you. Just like he told David, Peter did the same thing. I want to build a house for you. So what did the father do? Overshadowed. And just like he spoke to Nathan, this time the man showed up to correct things. I mean, the boss of bosses set things straight. He didn't send a text, right? He didn't make a phone call. He showed up on the job site and said, "No, we're doing it this way. I told you to do it this way, and you didn't do it. It's going to be this way." And what did they do? Like, ah! Right? Peter learned that God's will always follows the "I say who you are." You are. When God says to you, "You are," wait for God to say, "I will." What will I do now? What do you want to do, God? And that involves the present and future. And it also involves praise and worship. Praise gives God honor for the "I am," for who he is. Right? You praise God for what he's done. Thank you, Jesus. What did David say? He said, "You built me a house. You gave me rest from my enemies." Right? "You've done this for me. You've done that for me. You've given me a blessing. You've given me a family. You've given me peace. You've given me a great relationship and a marriage. You've given me whatever." I mean, all the blessings God has done in your lives. We can thank God for it. We have much to be praising God for. And we praise God for who he is, because only a good God does those good things. But worship deals with not the "I am" of God, it deals with the "I will" of God. Worship says, you get down and you sit before the Lord, or you kneel before the Lord, and you say, "Now what, God? What is your will?" It's the "I will" of God. And when Peter encountered the will of God, he said, okay, he couldn't respond, could he? All he could do was fall down on his face and cry out to God for mercy. And we need that kind of worship. I love praise. I praise him all day long. But we need that kind of worship that says, "God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. If I just stay here on this carpet for 2 hours..." And you've heard this story 1,000 times. I'll tell it again. I'll never forget the meeting in Pennsylvania, Lancaster, PA, where God said in the meeting, I was supposed to be leading the meeting, and God said, "Get under the piano and stay there and pray until I tell you to get up." And I stayed there for 2 hours. And there was all kinds of breakout in the spirit of there. And that happened to me over here one time during one of our meetings. He said, "Get under the piano and get out of my way and just pray." Come on. Don't you think that happens sometimes? That we actually get in the way of what God wants to do? And it isn't always the pastor, but sometimes it is. Maybe a whole lot more than the pastor thinks. But we need to learn to get on our face and worship and just do whatever God wants us to do. And a guarantee won't make sense to you. Another time, I was up in Maryland. In a big meeting, Jack Frost was leading the meeting. Thank God Jack Frost knew who I was, because he knew the nutcase that was out there. And I got up there, and God touched me, and God was doing something to me at that time. And the Lord said, "Don't get up, I'm not finished yet." And I felt all kinds of stuff being done to me by angels. I could feel has anybody ever had manifestations like that? I've had. Where you feel like things going on, you feel like you're getting poked and prodded, and it's all going on inside of here, your gut, and all the inner man. I knew God was working on me. I didn't know what he was doing. Mary Carroll was at that meeting. You can ask Mary Carroll, Marianne, Joanne Linsky was at that meeting. And I'm laying there, and everybody goes back. You know, I'm going to pray for all the pastors. You know how that is. Pray for all the pastors, and everybody gets prayed for, and then they go back, and then they preach their message and pray for everybody else. Well, everybody went back but me. So I'm laying up there, and Jack looks at me and goes, John, that's okay. You stay right there. I know how to deal with it. Because he knew I wasn't going to be a problem, but I was acting crazy. I was just laying there. Do what God tells you to do. Amen. Be free. Sit before the Lord. Peter. Listen to me. Peter had to learn. David's lesson that we want to learn is sit before the Lord so you can sit on the throne. And Peter's lesson is when God tells you who you are, get ready for the I will. And be ready for it. Don't just stick in praise. Do some worship. So we're gonna just say the Lord. We're gonna say Psalm 23 together to close. But I want you to see this. In many ways, I think David probably wrote this psalm before this experience with Nathan. But in so many ways, there's truth in this psalm that fits what Nathan said to him. Because the last verse says this: surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. That means the Lord will be my shepherd. Amen. Goodness and mercy is Jesus shepherding us. Because the shepherds many times came behind the sheep and followed them. And it says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not I will build a house of the Lord. He didn't say that in Psalm 23. He said, I will dwell in God's house that he makes for me. Amen. That's the house I want. Amen? So could we stand and say this together? And this will be our prayer, closing prayer, so to speak, and closing statement of decree. And we made some good decrees today, I'm telling you. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Lord, we make this our commitment and our prayer and our decree, our statement. Lord God, we will not build a house for God. We refuse to set up a tabernacle on the mountain. And we ask you, Lord, for Wellspring Fellowship now. Lord, that you would give us a fresh vision of the kind of house you want to build here. Lord, give us a fresh vision of what you want to build in the second half of 2020. We're asking you for a fresh vision. Right now, we've waited on you, Lord, these 7 months. Lord, you told us to wait. You told us to wait. You gave me the red light. You said, wait. January 1st, you said, wait. And we've been waiting now. But we believe that at this midpoint of the year, God, you're saying, fresh vision. As we wait on you so that you can build a house. And we will not build something with our hands that will fall. That you will build a house that will stand for generations and generations. Lord, we thank you for that tabernacle of David. And Lord, we make a fresh commitment that this place will be the tabernacle of David for God. A place where people can be refreshed, renewed, restored, and revived. Lord, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Fresh vision. Fresh move. Like you gave Nathan a fresh word. Like you gave Peter, Lord, a word. Flesh and blood has not shown you this. Lord, that's what we say in the name of Jesus. So be it. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Let's praise just a little bit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.